It's Sunday, the 6th of March, 2016. Happy birthday to John Jenkins and Marcus Smart. Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and JMKDC29. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be like JMKDC29 and sponsor the podcast, it's easy. Just leave a review on iTunes and you can become a sponsor of the show for one day. If you are watching this podcast live, which you can do on YouTube, and I do encourage you to subscribe to the YouTube channel, and if you get a chance, watch it live, you can interact directly with the show by tweeting at me at redrock_bball, and we can go back and forward. In that sense, if there's something that you feel like that needs commenting on during the show, by all means, do it. All right, we had a pretty good day in the NBA, I would say, a nice Saturday, a tough night, I think, for DFS with so many weird last minute scratches and sittings and all that sort of stuff. But you know, if you had a chance to do that, and if you were playing on a late swap site, you might have been able to make some money. But it was a pretty weird situation with all those sort of things happening. We had returns from injury, we had pretty big performances, and we've got 7 games on Sunday to prepare for as well. So no more of me waffling.
Let's get to it.
We'll start off, as we always do, with the Instagram and Facebook contest. On Instagram, you can follow me at redrock_bball, and we were looking for Isaiah Thomas, how many combined points and assists Isaiah Thomas would have. Now, he had 31, and two of you got that right. Lone Wolf and Cub and Clutterfulness both guessed 31 combined points and assists for Isaiah Thomas, so congratulations to you guys. On Facebook, we were looking at Kawhi Leonard, combined points, rebounds, and steals. The total there was 39, and two people got that as well, Jason Gunnison and Jake Holtz. So congratulations to both of you guys. If you want to get in on the guessing action, on Instagram tomorrow for Sunday's games, we're looking at Mario Chalmers. How many combined points, assists, and steals will Mario have? And on Facebook, which you can find it at facebook.com/redrockbasketball, we're looking at Toby Harris. How many combined points and rebounds will Toby have? Leave your answers on there, tag your mates, and get a shout-out if you get it correct. Pretty straightforward. We are now going to look at the monstrous line of the night, and it goes to Derek Favors of the Utah Jazz. Favors had a bit of a stinker the last time the Jazz played, but he made up for it here. He played 35 minutes in the game against the Pelicans, 28-11. He had 3 assists, 1 steal, and 6 blocks. He hit all 6 of his free throws, and he went 11 of 19 from the field. It's always a big boon to play against the Pelicans' front court, and it was no exception here, with Favors putting up just some crazy numbers. He has been so good this season. He has been a guy that I think is tremendously underrated in fantasy circles. He's a top 30 player for the year. He's averaging 17 and 8.5. Yes, that month he missed with a sore back was a huge pain in the ass, but he's averaging over a steal a game, 1.5 blocks, 52% and 71%, contributing in so many different areas, and really is an underrated player in the NBA. And he's an underrated fantasy option as well. You know, it's just superb numbers. I think he's going to continue. In fact, his last couple of weeks have been better than his season averages. 18.5 and 9.5 with 2 blocks a game, 0.9 steals. These are very, very good numbers from Derek Favors. And we're seeing him evolve into maybe not a star, maybe not an all-star, but I reckon if he was in the Eastern Conference, he might have found himself in the all-star game with these, you know, injury notwithstanding, he might have found himself in the All-Star game. I'm a huge, huge Derek Favors fan, and I think he's got a lot to offer the NBA and fantasy basketball in general. The waiver wire line of the night goes to a guy who I don't think I mentioned his name barely at all on this podcast. I won't say never, because I think I've mentioned every player in the NBA on this podcast at some point this season. Thomas Robinson of the Brooklyn Nets. He got the start with Brook Lopez and Thad Young both sitting. He played 40 minutes and put up a tremendous line. 18 and 17. 5 assists, 4 steals, 7 of 14 shooting. Yes, he's a bad free throw shooter. He went 4 of 10, and he had 6 turnovers as well. But that's a monstrous performance from Thomas Robinson. He's always been a great rebounder. In fact, for the season, per 36 minutes, he's averaging 14 boards a game. The problem is he just doesn't see enough playing time. He's going to be a bad free throw shooter, but he can produce. And what this says to me, there's nothing to do here. Like, there's no move to make unless you're in some sort of stupid deep 60-team league or something like that. I don't even know if they exist. Maybe they do. Hey, if you're in a league that's deeper than 30 teams, let me know. I would be shocked if there's anyone. There's not much to do here. But if we hear of an injury to Thad Young, if we hear of a extensive rest period coming up, I don't know for what reason the Nets have decided to rest Young and Lopez. They're not improving their draft choice. The Celtics fans would have been giddy to hear that the Nets had rested Thomas Robinson and Brook Lopez. Not only did the Nets lose, but they gave the Timberwolves an extra win. So it's like a double win for the Celtics. And for what purpose, I don't know. Unless these guys literally were on the brink of an injury and the training staff's gone, you know what, you probably better sit these guys or else you're going to miss them. Yeah, something serious could happen and they're going to be out for the next 6 months. It makes no sense otherwise. And the Celtics would be absolutely fist pumping. They would be so wrapped that they got that loss. And they would hope that these resting plans are something that's in the future for the Nets. But if this happens again, or if Thad Young suffers an injury, we're looking really hard at Thomas Robinson because he's going to pull in shitloads of rebounds. He's going to be a guy who can block some shots. He's not great at it. He can block some shots, but he'll score a decent amount at normally a relatively decent clip. He's only at 43% this season, but he was at 48% the last two. But a really aggressive rebounder, and that can be a very interesting thing for fantasy leagues, but nothing actionable at this point. The young gun of the night is Karl Anthony Towns yet again. Spoke about him yesterday. He was benched down the stretch for the Timberwolves, and I had a bit of an issue with it, not a massive issue with it, because you know it has happened before, but he was playing awesomely in that game yesterday, and he came out and was pretty damn awesome again. 38 minutes, he went 28, 6, and 7. He had two steals, he had three blocks, he went 14 of 18 from the field, and he didn't miss a free throw. He was perilously close to the monstrous line of the night. And I've said this before with him plenty of times, but 28, 6, and 7, two steals and three blocks, I look at that and go, he'll have plenty of games like that in the future. This is not abnormal. Yes, 7 assists is high, but he's a very good passer. He will have, and I'm going to put this out there, and I'm sure no one's going to check back on me in 10 years' time, he will have a season in the NBA when he averages 4 assists. He will have it. Get back to me in 15 years and let me know whether I'm right or wrong. But he will have a season where he averages 4 assists. We know the blocks are there. The two steals are nice. Look, imagine he had has a double-double. That's the thing. This is great, and it could have been so much better. He is an awesome player. He didn't even hit a three. He is an awesome fantasy player. He will go in top 5 next year. I'm almost convinced. Nice question came in from Eric McClung on Twitter. What is the origin of the Michael Bolton sound drop? I've mentioned this before, but it's and if you don't know this clip, I do encourage you to go and watch it. Lonely Island with their song Jack Sparrow, and Michael Bolton's in it. It's right at the very start of the Jack Sparrow clip. You can go and search that up on YouTube. Just type in Jack Sparrow Lonely Island, or even just Jack Sparrow, and I'm pretty sure it'll come up. It's had about 10 billion views. And it's Michael Bolton right at the start of that, before they go and start singing the song. That's what he does, and that's exactly where the Michael Bolton clip comes from. So Eric, thank you for the question. I did mention, I'm sure I've mentioned it before, but yes, it's not just me having a random clip of Michael Bolton. That's exactly where it comes from. And Eric, the way that I used it in the podcast is I would always catch myself saying, all right, let's get to it, let's get started. And it would always, in my head, remind me of that clip of Michael Bolton saying it. So I thought, you know what, stuff it, I'm just going to play the clip anyway. And it's become part of the show. And I'm sure it confuses a shitload of people when they hear it for the first time and go, why is Michael Bolton part of the podcast? But there you go. He is, and here we are. The dud of the night goes to, and it was a hard one to find the dud of the night because it was a few bad performances. But when I look at duds of the night, I want to get players who are over 70% owned because they're contributing on most teams. Otto Porter was a close one. We're going to talk about him, but he was at right on 70. So I want someone higher. JJ Redick is the guy. Now, it's not a terrible line. He had 10 points in 30 minutes. He had two triples, two rebounds, and an assist, but 4 of 13 shooting, didn't hit any free throws, no steals or blocks. Not an awesome line from JJ Redick, so he gets the dud of the night, but it's a muted dud, maybe is the best way of putting it. He's been a top 100 player this year. He has dropped off. He was a top 50 guy for a stretch early on when Blake went down, but he's come back to earth a bit, but he's still been awesome. He's averaging 16.5 points and 2.6 triples on 47 and 88% shooting. Yeah, that's great value. The problem is he doesn't contribute rebounds, assists, steals, blocks. He's not giving you anything in those areas, but he is quite effective for what he does. And not a good night, but doesn't bother me in the slightest. Let's look at the the perfect DFS lineup from Saturday's games. At point guard, Rick Rubio, 42.4. He was in a great spot taking on the Nets, who have got a pretty piss weak backcourt. Jeff Teague at 39.7, a bit of a shocker to me against the Clippers. It's not great to play guys going up against Chris Paul, but Teague did it and he was awesome. Shooting guards, Andy Wiggins, 40.2. He's just not someone I rely upon in DFS. And Iman Shumpert, a guy that I wrote off as having no fantasy relevance whatsoever, put up just a ridiculous line of 39.2 DFS points. He will be hard-pressed to get even half of that again. It was ludicrous. Paul George at 47.2. He's been on a pretty nice hot streak. And Kawhi Leonard at 49.6. He's been on a month-long hot streak. Derek Favors at 56.7, one of the power forwards, and Tom Robinson at 47.9, who we've already spoken about. And Pau Gasol went for 57.4 against that pretty poor Rockets front court. That lineup would have netted you 420.9 points, which would have been fairly handy. All right, I'm going to take a quick break for a word from one of our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to be looking at those 8 games from Saturday in a little bit more detail. All right, guys, we are back. And I'm just bringing up that on the screen for you guys watching along. The box score is there, courtesy of Basketball Monster, of course, which is best seasonal fantasy sports, fantasy basketball site that there is, in my opinion, and which is wholly biased, but I'm sure plenty of you agree with me on the usefulness of the Basketball Monster website. Let's get into the games. The first one, the Indiana Pacers and the Washington Wizards. Paul George, we'll start with him. He had 38 points. He hit 4 triples, 6 rebounds, 2 assists and a steal. And probably the biggest thing for him is he went 13 of 22 from the field and 8 of 8 from the free throw line. That is not something you've been able to rely upon Paul George with recently, but he's got it done the last couple. Monte Ellis with a nice 17, 6 and 4 with 4 steals, terribly inefficient as per usual. And George Hill went 12, 3 and 5. With a 4 of 10 shooting. Ty Lawson still hasn't joined the team. He's likely to sign on Monday, and then we might see him play on Monday. If you haven't heard my thoughts on Ty Lawson, I don't think he's going to have 12-team league value. I don't see how he takes minutes. Remember, their point guard is George Hill. Their backup point guard is Monte Ellis, and they've got Rod Stuckey, who plays the 1 and the 2 as well. So he's got to find a way. Maybe he plays over Stuckey, but Stuckey's only getting 18 minutes a game at the moment, maybe 20, 21 at max. And Lawson, for him to be relevant, has got to get to 30 minutes. I can't see a way that he does that. So I don't, yes, 16-team leagues, 14-team leagues even, I'd look at Lawson, but 12-team leagues, he's just not going to be for me. Yan Mahinmi struggled a little bit in this one. He did foul out in 25 minutes, 8-4, still had a steal and a block, so I'm not off him, but a guy I am starting to come off is Miles Turner, who played just 25 minutes. He was back in the starting lineup, but not a good night for him. 4-4 off 2 of 9 shooting. He played less minutes than Lavoy Allen, who went 2-5 in his 26 minutes. Jordan Hill got 17 and went 10-9. Now, I'm not dropping Miles Turner, but his value has been outside the top 100 for a good stretch. And if you're outside the top 100 in a 12-team league, your place comes into peril on a roster. And you go, maybe he's not the guy for me. And he is in a bit of a slump. It all depends on where you are. If you need something desperately to happen on Sunday to make the playoffs, I think he can be expendable. It might hurt you, but his form hasn't been, I've got to hold on to this guy. And when you're outside the top 100, you're not a must-hold player to me. You're a guy that, yeah, I'd love to hold, and I know you've got upside, but I'm not sure that you're a guy that I'm holding because, you know, in spite of making the right move to make the playoffs. So I think he's falling into that category now. Solomon Hill played 22 minutes after his start yesterday. Only 3 points, but did well defensively. 2 steals and 2 blocks with 3 boards. He is not a fantasy target. And Rod Stuckey played the 18 minutes, 6-2 for Stuckey in that playing time. We're still not seeing any CJ Miles, nor are we seeing Mighty Joe Young. The Washington Wizards, they didn't get the victory, but I liked something they did. And they played Marcin Gortat actually proper minutes. 33 minutes for Gortat, and amazingly, when he plays, he actually does well. 8 points, 17 rebounds, 1 steal and 4 blocks. I might not have seen it anywhere, but why is there no questions to Randy Whitman? Why are you only playing Gortat 26 minutes when you don't have a backup center? It seems like a logical question to me. You've got one center, he's good. Why don't you actually play him enough minutes to be impactful when you don't have a backup? Nay, whatever, he's fine. He lasted 15 minutes for suffering an injury today. Why are you not playing Gortat minutes? Maybe I've missed it. I need to fly over to Washington, get press credentials, go in there, act like I'm important, and ask him the question, why doesn't he play? It confuses me. Anyway, he played here, so I wouldn't be able to ask it after this game. Johnny Wall went 25, 6, and 12. He had two steals in his 39 minutes. Not all that efficient, going 9 of 24 from the field, and the 7 turnovers hurt as well, if you're caring about that category. But overall, still a pretty decent game. Markieff Morris, 32 minutes, 14 and 8, a steal and a 3. I've been championing Markieff Morris for a very long time. His minutes continue to rise. His role will continue to rise. He should be owned in all leagues, and it still confuses me that he's not. Brad Beal, 24 minutes for Beal, and you're probably all going to need to sit down, but he got injured. It's a big shock to the system, but he's injured. He has a strained pelvis. Matt Smith had a nice tweet out today, what the hell's a sprained pelvis? I've got no idea. It could be anything. It doesn't sound all that comfortable, but Beal, he's injured again. This is not good for him coming in to the end of his rookie contract. He's still going to command a big salary, but he just can't stay healthy. 12 points for him, two triples, 3 assists and 2 rebounds. At this point, we don't know any severity of the injury, so I think it is something you just have to keep holding on to him. But it's a real worrying trend. I actually just traded for him in the Red Rock Dynasty League, and luckily I wouldn't have traded for him, but he is on an expiring contract. I made a trade to get him for a playoff run. I don't think that's going to work all that well for me. We'll see. Otto Porter played 20 minutes. 6 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. He has been trash for the last couple of weeks. He can be moved on from in most leagues. Now, I'd be a little bit hesitant in doing it just yet, because if Beal is out, he might get some more usage and he might play some more minutes. Now, he doesn't play quite the same position, but it's all that wing group of guys. He might get some extra run back. But if Beal is fine, which he's never really fine, but if he's fine, so to speak, then there's no point in holding on to Porter. His minutes have dropped down. His usage has dropped down. He's massively struggling. I reckon something's going to come out at the end of the season that he's been dealing with a serious hip injury, and he's going to go and have off-season surgery, and it's going to cost him 3 months or something like that. I'm not certain of it, but I've got a fair inkling that there's going to be something weird like that coming out, because his play has dropped off a cliff completely. Jared Dudley has as well. 2 points for him in 16 minutes. He can be cut loose. And Alan Anderson up to 24 minutes. Now, he's still going to be restricted in terms of back-to-backs, but he's taking a role from these guys. 9 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds. And if Beal misses, I imagine Anderson gets maybe a couple of extra minutes. He's not going to push 30 because of the restrictions, but he's playing pretty decently. And 14-team leagues need to pay attention to him. Nene had the 10 points in 15 minutes, as I mentioned earlier. Garrett Temple also played 26 minutes and had one of his more productive games, 11, 4, and 2. And if Beal is out, Temple will start. He'll play 35 minutes. He'll score 7 points. Nothing to be seen there. Boston and Cleveland. The Cavs got the big, big victory over the Celtics. Isaiah Thomas scored 27 points. He hit 4 triples, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal. A very big night for him on 9 of 15 shooting. While Jay Crowder struggled, only shooting 3 of 11. He did have 12 points, 4 steals, and a block with 2 triples. So nice peripheral stats from Jay. And he continues to just accumulate steals at a ridiculous rate. I've bashed Brad Stevens a lot on this podcast, not for his acumen as a coach, not for anything like that, but for the way he handles his big man rotation. But now it's set in stone. Jared Sullender is going to play the most minutes, and he played 31 here and had 17 and 13. Amir Johnson's going to play less than 20. He played 17 and went 8-1-1. Jonas Jerebko and Tyler Zeller are going to play 15 to 20. Jerebko played 15 and went 5-2-2. Zeller played 17 and went 8-3. This is what he's going to do. Now, he's going to have to reincorporate Kelly Olynyk back into the mix, which will probably take some of the minutes away from Zeller and Jerebko. But that's what it is. It's Sullender is the only guy here who's got value for standard leagues, and Olynyk. If Olynyk can carve out 25 minutes, then he will. But that's probably not going to happen. Avery Bradley, probably one of his best games in a while. 12, 4, and 5 with 2 triples and a steal. Just the 4 of 12 shootings, and not a great overall night. And it wasn't a great overall night from Evan Turner. 11, 4, and 3 in 27 minutes. But I still maintain that he can have value in 12-team leagues. Marcus Smart's 12-team value is dropping a little bit. 3 and 3 in his 21 minutes. It depends. If there's someone else out there, Smart is definitely droppable. If there's no one else out there, why don't you just hang on and see what happens? But Dynasty and Keepers, you know that I'm a massive Marcus Smart fan. The Cavs, LeBron, 28, 11, and 8. 2 steals, 1 block, 1 triple, a very complete line. Apart from the 5 of 9 free throw shooting, a big night from LeBron. And Kyrie had 20 points with 4 assists and a bonus, 2 blocks as well. Kevin Love was back after his rest, and he was disappointing. 10-4-3 with a steal. Just this, I feel like this is just the Kevin Love that we're going to see from now on. He was great when Kyrie was out to start the season, but he's come back to this mid-round sort of guy. Iman Shumpert played 35 minutes, had 12 points, and grabbed 16 rebounds. Yep. 2 triples, 4 assists, 2 steals. It is the most unreal line of the day, and by unreal, I mean it's just not real. Like, it's just not going to happen again. He has been putrid for most of the season. Like, he's good in his role, but fantasy-wise, he's no good. For the season, he's averaging 6 points, 3.7 rebounds, 1.7 assists, 1.1 steals on 37% shooting. He's been terrible. He's gone out there and grabbed... His per 36 rebound numbers are 5.4 for the season. He grabbed 16 today. It's completely out of the blue. Do not anticipate an Iman Shumpert renaissance or anything like that. He is still more of a 16-team league guy than anything. Tyronn Lue had some interesting comments on Matthew Dellavedova today, and eliciting a lot of humorous responses from people. And by humorous, I mean, you know, can you guys relax? When he said, if you don't like Matthew Dellavedova, then you don't like basketball. And I'm all for it. A lot of people hate Dellavedova. Majority of you people listening to this podcast will hate Dellavedova and call him dirty. I've got no issue with anything that he does, and this is not a Australian / Melbourne bias. It's just, I just don't think he's dirty. No, he doesn't do, I tell you who's dirty? Hassan Whiteside's dirty. Elbowing people in the face is dirty. You know, throwing punches to the back of their head, that's dirty. Hustling to grab the ball is not dirty. I know people are going to disagree with that, but he's not dirty. And most of you will hate him and think he's terrible and think he's trash and all that sort of crap. But he is hard at it, and he's feisty. And I do really appreciate what he does. And this is not Australian bias, because I don't have Australian bias, I don't think, anyway. Tim Mozgov started, played 11 minutes and had 10 points with 3 rebounds. Really nice efficiency, hitting all 4 of his shots, but not a lot else there from Mozgov. And J.R. Smith had 14 points with 4 triples in 34 minutes. Also jacked up 15 shots and missed 10 of them. J.R., is he a 12-team league must-own? I think that really depends on how your team looks. By a must-own, it would mean, is he ownable in every single team build in 12-team leagues? And the answer there would have to be no. But it's, to me, he's not must-own. It's only for certain teams. He's ranked outside the top 110 over the last, for the year. Not over the last. He's ranked outside the top 110 over the year. And that's not for everyone. It is for some people, but it's not for everyone. So to me, no, J.R. Smith is not a must-own player. Tristan Thompson played 28 minutes. He had 12 points and 5 rebounds, and Channing Frye was completely out of the rotation in this one. So that's interesting that he's already gone to being out of the rotation on this team. The Jazz and the Pelicans, Gordy Haywood, 24-5-4 with 2 triples. Just a nice, solid line. I feel like he does this every single night. And Rudy Gobert grabbed 18 rebounds and had 2 blocks, but just 5 points. And that's one of the reasons why I was a bit against him being picked in the second round, because his scoring is just so bad and his free throws can be a real problem. Yes, you can get nice rebounds and blocks, but it requires everything else to fit right to get Gobert into your team. And I'd be really interested, like, the injury probably masked it a bit, be interested to know how many people have Gobert on their team that are sitting in the top 2 or 3 in a league. The injury has been an issue, no doubt, but I think even without the injury, even on a per-game basis, he's barely inside the top 50. And the lack of scoring, I think, really hurts your ability to build a team. And another one of those things... He was one of the other ones that was hyped up in the offseason. Nah, he's a great free throw shooter. His free throws have improved so much. That's not going to be an issue. Much like Giannis Antetokounmpo's 3-point shooting. Nah, he's shooting threes now. He's going to shoot them. And that didn't materialize. You know, Gobert's worse at free throws this year than last year. And he's taking more attempts. He was at 62 last year. He's at 59 this year. And he's taking 1.7 attempts more per game. That's impactful. He's not quite a punt guy, but he's pretty bloody close to it, to be honest, especially over the last couple of weeks where he's upped his free throws. Again, in the last month, he's at 6.6 attempts and 59%. That's punting. That is very hard to come back from. And a lot of people drafted him and didn't have that in mind. And it was something that I did warn about. And the scoring as well is a big negative. But for what he does, rebounds and blocks and his field goal percentage, it's pretty good. But there's a lot of other issues associated with his game. Jelvin Mack played 32 minutes. He went 11-3-4. He had a triple. He had a steal. Not quite as good as his game yesterday, but still pretty useful. And you can own him in 12-team leagues, at least until Alec Burks comes back. Rod Hood has definitely dropped off. 11-4-3 with a triple and a steal. I believe in him, so he's not someone that I'm looking to drop. Hal Netto played 16 minutes. Trey Burke did not play at all. And disappointingly for me, Trey Lyles only played 6 minutes. He had 2 points. He'd been playing consistent minutes and producing consistently as well. That's annoying to not see him get the bigger run there. Trev Booker played 18 minutes and had 11 and 8, and he's a really nice deep league guy if he can hold off Lyles, what it looks like he has in this one. For the Pelicans, Eric Gordon refractured his finger that cost him the 4 weeks earlier on. You would have to think that, now we don't have any official word on that, you would have to think that he is basically done for the season now. He might come back in the last week or so of April. He is cooked. I reckon you can basically drop him in all leagues if you don't have IR spots. He played 11 minutes and had 7 points. He is toast. Jrue Holiday started the second half over Eric Gordon. Jrue Holiday should be starting anyway, regardless. 37 minutes for Holiday, 22 points, 2 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 3 triples. Big night for him. He's an awesome player, and he gets a bad rap for a lot of things, but I really like him. Good news for Pelicans fans, Omer Asik was back. He played 25 minutes, 4 points with 6 rebounds and a block, and he does nothing to move the fantasy needle or my needle. Ryan Anderson, so overrated to me. 9 points in 22 minutes, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 3-pointer. He's just, I don't know how to phrase it. He's not good. He's just overrated. He's outside the top 150 over the last month. Yeah, he's averaging 16.7 points for the season, and that's good. He hits 2 threes a game. That's good. He does nothing else that's good. His blocks are terrible. He steals are bad. He doesn't pass the ball. His rebounds are below average. His field goal percentage is poor. His free throws are nice, but they're on low attempts. He's just not great, and he's been much worse lately. If you need to drop someone, I am not against dropping Ryan Anderson. Yes, he'll have a big game, but he'll have so many poor games that you could be in a head-to-head matchup, and he could have 3 poor games in a row and ruin your week. He's not consistent, and it's a real pain in the ass to me. He's going to get so overpaid in the offseason. It's going to be ridiculous. If he gets over 20 million, that is not what he's worth. He is, and I really like Ryan Anderson as a player, and I have liked him as a player, and I really like him as a person, but he is struggling immensely at the moment. Anthony Davis, 29-11, 1-3, 1 steal, 2 blocks. His efficiency not quite there. 11 of 31 is not good, but still some nice counting stats. And Norris Cole, 29 minutes, 6 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal. He is not good at all. I know I've said it plenty of times. You still should own him, though. 5 assists is impactful. Eric Gordon's going to be out, so those 29 minutes might head to 31 or 32. He's just not a good player, and this Pelicans team is just flooded with players who are no good. Omer Asik, Cunningham, G, Douglas, Perkins, Babbitt, Cole. Like, there's just so many guys who are just, they're so far from being good. Dante Cunningham scored all of 2 points in his 30 minutes. He had 3 assists, which is high for him, and Alonzo G went for 4, 2, and 3 in his 18 minutes. The Detroit Pistons and the New York Knicks. Andre Drummond played 36 minutes. He went 21-16, had a steal, not much else. No free throw attempts either, really only 1 of 3. Hit 10 of his 20 shots. A decent night, but nothing too spectacular. Reggie Bullock played 24 minutes, oddly enough. 8 points with 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 triples. And the Pistons got smashed by the Knicks, which is odd. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope really struggling at the moment. 8-5 with 3 steals. You'd have to think that he's, you know, on the borderline of being a must-own guy as well. Just heading into playoffs, your tolerance for players should be much lower. You should be like, okay, move on. Someone else, stream the spot, get someone else in, because you don't have time for these guys to turn it around. Your playoffs are starting. Most of them are starting this week. You need to, okay, he's not performing. He hasn't been performing for 2 weeks. Get rid of him. You might have to do that. Marcus Morris, he played 27 minutes. Now, some of it is rotations because, you know, Toby Harris arriving. He played 32 in the previous 2 games, down from the 36 he was playing earlier. But the 27 he got here, there was some foul trouble involved, so don't read too much into it. He was putrid, 2 of 11 with 5 points. He's been on the back end of ownership for me for basically all of the season when he was playing 36 minutes and barely struggling to get inside the top 100. And now that he's losing 4 to 5 minutes a game, it's very hard to continue holding him. Toby Harris played 36. He went 18-8. Not a great night, but still pretty decent. And Reggie Jackson struggled. He was 3 of 17, had 8 points, did have 6 assists, a steal and a block, but not a good night from Jackson. And it was a golden opportunity for him to have a good night going up against the Knicks and the corpse of Jose Calderon. Speaking of the corpse of Jose Calderon, Kurt Rambis got a victory. Congratulations, Kurt. That means so much to everybody. But he is still just abusing his position, I think, by playing. Look, Mallow played 41 minutes. Aflalo played 42. Jose Calderon played 34. Robin Lopez played 32. Like, why are you playing Mallow 41 minutes? Why is Aaron Aflalo playing 42 minutes? Why is Jose Calderon playing 34 minutes? Oh, congratulations, you won. Big shit. These moves don't... there is so much dysfunction in NBA teams and front offices. It is baffling to me that a coach has to go out there and do shit like this to go, look at this, I got to win. When surely they should be working with the front office and going, you know what, guys, the season's cooked. Maybe let's push Mallow down to 31 minutes or 32 minutes a game. That might be, you know, worth an idea. You know, preserve a bit of his knees, still let him play, develop, whatever with the players around him. But let's give some other guys a run. Let's play Jose Calderon 24 minutes, 20 minutes, and let's give Jerry and Grant a run. And Kurt, if you lose the games because you've got a rookie in there, it's not going to go against you. But they all work in opposition to each other. The front office drafts guys for the future. The coach is like, I have to win now. I have to play these guys 50 minutes a game. It's like, and it all goes back to my take on, you know, showcasing players for trades. It's like nobody thinks that anybody actually understands anything in the game. Back to, you know, my point on showcasing players for a trade. If I give this guy 40 minutes, you're going to think he's the best in the world. Therefore, you're going to give me lots when I trade from him. But people should know these things. Like, Kurt Rambis getting a win because he's misused Carmelo Anthony and ruined the development of guys by playing Jose Calderon. Does the organization go, oh, but Kurt won a game. He must be good. Like, surely they should work together. What is with all this dysfunction? This is basic stuff to me. And it is just mind-numbing that they can't get it right. Anyway, the Knicks got a win, so congratulations to New York. Kristaps Porzingis sat this one out with a bruised leg. Thankfully, x-rays were negative, so we don't have any issues there. Maybe that's the reason that he played so few minutes in the last game. We heard nothing of it until today, so I don't know. Now, Robin Lopez went 21-9 with a block. He's obviously a must-own guy. Aaron Aflalo, 20 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. You know, great shooting, 9 of 12 for 20 points, but he's so mediocre. And if his shot doesn't fall, he offers you nothing. And to me, he is not a must-own 12-team player. He can be owned, absolutely. But his averages, they aren't great. He gives you 14 points. He gives you, you know, a positive contribution in threes, but negatives in every other area. And his free throws are okay. And that's basically who he is at this point. The Knicks. Kristaps was out. They should have got their cock out. Now, O'Quinn played 16 minutes. He had 10 and 4 and 3 blocks. He can be a real impactful player in this league. Now, that's granted, they give Derek Williams 19 minutes, so I'm okay with that. I just really want to see O'Quinn out there. But he was nice, and I think that in a 16-team league, you've got to use O'Quinn. Even in limited minutes, he can be a productive player. Jerian Grant, in his 17 minutes, had 3 points with 2 assists, while Langston Galloway was limited to 14 minutes. He went 3-2-1, so they could give Aaron Aflalo 42, and Lance Thomas had his 4 points in his 24 minutes. The Brooklyn Nets and the Minnesota Timberwolves. We've talked about Thomas Robinson already, but what about Willie Reed, who replaced Brook Lopez and went 14-8-3 and had 4 blocks? Everything that I said for Thomas Robinson at the start of the show, just repeat it again for Willie Reed. If Brook Lopez happens to miss time, then Reed becomes extremely interesting because they have no one else who can play that position as a center. Him and Robinson can both play it, I guess. He looked really good, and he put up big fantasy numbers. This is, again, probably the best game he will have all season, but it's worth noting down for the future. Donald Sloan played 14 minutes. He had 7 points and 2 assists, and Shane Larkin played 34 minutes, 18-2-5 with a steal and a 3. Is it happening? Have the Nets finally realized that Shane Larkin's a better option than Donald Sloan? I've been on Larkin Island for quite a while since the Jarrett Jack injury, and I've looked stupid for most of the season. But I still maintain that he's a better player than Donald Sloan, and maybe the Nets are finally working that out. For now, Larkin is a guy that in a 14-team league, and if I've got some dead weight, I'll go and add him and just see. Because if he plays 30 minutes, he's going to be a top 100 player. I'm confident of that. I just need him to play 30 minutes. Markel Brown, the revolution has come. 29 minutes for Brown. 23 points, 3 threes, a rebound, an assist, and a steal. 8 of 16 shooting. 2 in a row, he's outplayed Wayne Ellington. This is a trend that should continue, and I am pretty confident that it will continue. Maybe he won't score 23 points a night, but I think he could be a contributor. In a 14-team league, he should be owned. In a 12-team league, I'm not against adding him and seeing how it plays out. Sean Kilpatrick also played 26 minutes here. 19 points, 3 triples. He's on a 10-day. I think he's a decent player, Kilpatrick. I'm not sure that much is going to eventuate from this. And Bojan Bogdanović was limited to just 24 minutes here, 8, 1, and 2. He'd been really consistent before this, so let's just chalk this one up to an odd outing. And 19 minutes for Wayne Ellington, who had 9 points, and he has no 12, 14, or probably even 16-team league value. On to the Timberwolves, Andy Wiggins, 26, 4, and 6, 2 triples and a steal on a beautiful 10 of 14 shooting. A great night from Wiggins, and that's what you want him to do way more often. Zach LaVine played 37, 21 points, 3 triples, 4 assists, and 2 steals. He is really coming into his own. 9 of 12 is ludicrous. The Timberwolves shot 68% in this game. That is insanity. I think it set a Timberwolves team record. Even Ricky Rubio went 5 of 8 for 16, 7, and 10 with 2 steals and 2 threes. He is awesome, and I'm a massive Ricky Rubio fan. Gorgui Dieng, the one guy who missed out, and he played... before I get into Ricky Rubio, good point here from John President. It's a good name, actually. Manu wins the does the most with the least amount of time award tonight. Yeah, I'll get to Manu in a sec, John, but I'm pretty sure that that's accurate. Manu was fantastic. That's the next game up. We'll talk about that in a sec, but that's it's definitely interesting. Dieng played 24 minutes, 4 points and 3 rebounds, 3 blocks. That's still good. A little bit troubling that he played 24 minutes so Greg Smith could play 17 minutes and Adrian Payne could get his 8 minutes and Tayshaun Prince could get his 13, but I'm not panicking about Dieng. I'm still holding him and I just want to see what Sam Mitchell does. But the track record on Sam Mitchell's handling of Dieng has not been good this season. I thought we were pretty safe, but maybe we're not. Let's see. Tyus Jones got 16 minutes, 9 points with 2 assists and 2 triples. Do not sleep on Tyus Jones. He is going to be a player in this league. He will be. It might not be on this team because the Timberwolves don't seem to value Ricky Rubio as highly as I do. But Tyus Jones is going to be a decent player in this league. Shabazz Muhammad only played 19 minutes, but still chimed in with 15 points, 2 rebounds and a steal. But he's we know where his value comes. It's from the points category and offensive rebounding. That's about all that he's able to do from a fantasy point of view anyway. The Sacramento Kings and the San Antonio Spurs. Willie Cauley-Stein played 12 minutes. He had 1 point. George Karl and this organization is a massive mess, and we all know that. There's a lot happening with this team behind the scenes. Not sure if I'm really obliged or at liberty to say what it is, but I have been speaking to some Kings people about it, and it's a mess. And Karl basically, he's just doing whatever he wants. And it's not for the future of this team, because Quincy Acey playing 31 minutes and Willie Cauley-Stein playing 12 minutes makes no sense on a night where Kostas Koufos was out with food poisoning. Cauley-Stein, there is no point holding on to him, obviously, in any 12, 14, maybe even 16-team leagues. He's barely getting any run at all, and this is all Karl-related. Quincy Acey, on the other hand, what do you do with him? Anything? Probably not, but 16 points with 7 rebounds is good, but it came on 7 of 7 shooting. 100% shooting, perfection, is not something you associate with Quincy Acey, so I'm not getting overly excited for him. But in the last 2 weeks, he's a top 120 player, and that means something. Over the last month, he's shooting 71% from the field. Over the season, he's shooting 61% of the field. These are big, big field goal bumps. And he's upped his attempts recently in the last 2 weeks. So for the season, he's at 2.9 attempts per game. In the last 2 weeks, he's at 5.1. And he's shooting 72%. These are big numbers. He does nothing else of benefit, but it's a nice field goal bump. So it's worth noting, do I need a field goal bump? Can I add someone? Maybe Quincy Acey is going to be that guy. Darren Collison played 33 minutes. He went 12, 3, and 7 with 2 steals and a block. We've been robbed of a top 50 fantasy season from Darren Collison by the signing of Rajon Rondo. And Rondo played 36 minutes. He wasn't good. 9 points with 8 assists and 2 steals. While DeMarcus Cousins went 31-9 on, again, some pretty piss poor free throw shooting, going 10 of 15 from the line. Rudy Gay had 9 points and 4 rebounds. Did have 2 steals, 2 blocks, and a 3-pointer. So an overall, a decent night, but the scoring wasn't quite there. And Omri Caspi has dropped right off, playing only 21 minutes, going 6-4. While Ben McLemore started and played 15 minutes, and he has zero value either. Obviously, McLemore, Ballinelli, Caspi, none of these guys have standard league value. Darren Collison might be available in your league. He's only owned in 65% of leagues. He has to be owned in all 12-team leagues, and I'd even go as far as saying most 10-team leagues. The Spurs, they sat Danny Green. They sat Tim Duncan for resting purposes, and then LaMarcus Aldridge came down with a migraine. Now, I have to believe it is actually a migraine. The Spurs don't give a shit. They would have said resting. They don't have to hide it behind migraine. So I would say he actually had a migraine. That moved Boris Diaw into the starting lineup, and he had a very Boris Diaw line. 11-3-6, a triple, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Boris Diaw's had a couple of these games this year. He needs an opportunity to do it, obviously, but when he does, a great stream target. Manu, he was back from his ruptured nuts. He played 15 minutes and scored 22 points. He went 8 of 11 from the field. He didn't do a lot else, 1 rebound and 1 assist. But earlier this season, he was, in about 21 minutes a game, a standard league guy. Not sure he's going to get quite back to that, especially with the addition of Kevin Martin, just someone else to take some minutes away at the shooting guard spot. But over the course of the season, he's ranked 110th. You could use that in your 12-team league. Is in less than 20 minutes a night. There aren't many players who can do it in less than 20 minutes a night. He's one of them. Nikola Jokic is one of them. There aren't many others who can provide standard league value in that sort of time frame. But Ginobili is one of them, and he is someone that you have to look, and he's an ideal stream option. Now, I'm going to add him for a back-to-back that, or not even back-to-backs, he might not play, but I'm going to add him on a low night when there's 4 or 5 games on it and get something out of him, because he can provide nice assists as a shooting guard as well, averaging 3.3 on the season there, can get you steals, can hit you threes, and is pretty efficient in doing it as well. Kawhi was great, 25-13-6, a triple one, not his usual efficiency, going 9 of 24, but still pretty good. And David West got the start as well next to DL. He went 12-3 in 27 minutes. Tony Parker was poor. 2 points in his 32 minutes. Just, he had 7 assists, though. That's not bad. And John Simmons started in place of Danny Green and played 15 minutes and didn't do a huge amount. But Kyle Anderson did. He played 28 minutes. He went 4-7, had 2 assists, 1 steal and a block, and just continues to be a contributor on this team. Kevin Martin will hurt him as well, but deeper league people need to have Kyle Anderson owned, I would say. He's owned in 2% of leagues. How deep are we talking? If you're in a 16-team league, he has to be owned. If you're in a 14-team league, I would be looking at owning Kyle Anderson. He is producing in an unobvious way in limited minutes. And I really think that if he was in a different team where he would have had an opportunity to play 30-plus minutes, there would be a real situation of fantasy stats coming from him. The Houston Rockets and the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls got the victory here. Corey Brewer was pretty good off the bench. In fact, he was really good. 12 points in 24 minutes, but the 6 steals and 2 threes are what you come for Corey Brewer for. It's just not happening for him this year, though, so I'm not buying much into this. Patrick Beverley, 30 minutes seems to be the new norm for him. He played 31 here, 10 points with 2 triples, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 steals, and those steal numbers are good. What do you do with Patrick Beverley? I think he has to be owned. In the last 2 months, he's a top 85 player. He's a top 65 guy over the last 2 weeks. And he doesn't wow you with numbers, but 1.5 threes, 2 steals, 2.5 assists, 5 rebounds, 12 points. These are all good numbers. Good free throw percentage as well over that time frame. I think that he should be owned in 12-team formats. Michael Beasley made his Houston debut. He played 4 minutes. He had 2 points. He's not going to be much of a factor, obviously, but he might carve out something. He might mean that Terrence Jones doesn't play again for this team. That'd be a possibility. Donatas Motiejunas started, only played 14 minutes, but it was foul trouble induced. I think that he goes back to mid-20s or approaching mid-20s in the next game and is someone to definitely watch. 6-3 for Motiejunas in his 14 minutes. Clint Capela was active in only 14 minutes, 6-5. He's gone back to being basically a backup center. He did play a little bit with Dwight tonight, but he's back to being a backup center. Trevor Reza, 11-3-3 with 4 steals, a block and a triple, a big night from him. And Jim Harden had 36-5-8 with 4 triples, going 10 of 26 from the field, which is bad, but 12 of 14 from the free throw line. So some good numbers there from the free throws. And Dwight Howard struggled, 8-12, on 3 of 9 shooting. He will be better than that. Montrezl Harrell also got 13 minutes and didn't do much. 3 points. For the Bulls, Pau Gasol was great. 28-17, 6 dimes, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Awesome stuff. And Jim Butler came back 24-11-6 with a triple and a steal and played 34 minutes. Everything's good to go for him. Derrick Rose, only the 29 minutes, 17-3-9, continues to be really productive at the moment. And much to people's amazement, he's playing really well. Mike Dunleavy played 29 minutes. He looks like he's going to be locked in as a starter in those high 20 minutes now. 12-4 with 2 triples and a steal. He's more of a 14-team league guy, though, but he can be streamed for 12s. Taj Gibson, back from his hamstring, played 38 minutes, 4.7 rebounds, 2 steals, and 1 block, with Etuan Moore going back to the bench with Butler's return. He played 26 minutes still, with Tony Snell and Aaron Brooks not getting off the bench. 9 points with 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. The big surprise was Nikola Mirotic. He was back as well. Was not expecting him to be back. He was listed as doubtful before the game, so I knew he was coming back pretty soon, but wasn't expecting him here in this one. 16 minutes for Mirotic, 7-2-1 with 2 triples and a steal. He is a very divisive figure in fantasy basketball. His numbers still look awesome to me if he was to get 30 minutes. The problem is he's going to struggle to get 30 minutes. Do you add him in a 12-team league? It's a very specific question, because it depends on who you're dropping. It depends on how your team looks. My confidence in him getting 27 minutes a night, though, and or even 25 minutes a night, enough to be relevant, is pretty low. So I'm not all that keen on it. What it does show you is that Mirotic was back. He played 16 minutes. Bobby Portis played 4. Portis, fine. He never lived up to anything of the hype. Even when Taj was out, he was the worst player on your 12-team roster. And now he's done. See you later, Bob Portis. You're restricted to dynasties and keeper leagues now. Dougie McDermott also lost some playing time. He played 22 and went 7-4 with a triple. But Mirotic, I think, will get his minutes ramped up. He did lose a lot of weight, so I imagine his energy and stamina would not quite where it needs to be. I don't think Gibson plays 38 minutes a night moving forward. Yeah, Mirotic might go to 21, but I'm not sure that's going to be enough for a 12-team league. You can add him, but again, it depends on who you're dropping. But don't be surprised if it takes 2 weeks for him to get back to even sort of close to normal production levels. The Atlanta Hawks and the Clippers, big win for the Hawks over the Clippers. Paul Millsap was awesome, 20-18, 5 assists and 3 steals. Jeff Teague was also awesome going up against Chris Paul. He had foul trouble and that limited him to 29 minutes, but 22-6-7 is impressive. And Dennis Schroeder played 19 off the bench and had 16 points with 3 assists. The question with Dennis Schroeder always is, do you own him in 12-team leagues? And the answer I give you is probably not. He's ranked 133rd on the season, 130th over the last 2 weeks. The minutes is a real concern. Now, he can produce, like he did here, 16 points in 19 minutes. That can happen. But in general, he doesn't produce enough in that playing time. You know what? If the Hawks play on a game, on a day where there's not many games, I'll add him in. I'll get his 3 assists. I'll get his 15 points. But overall, his production is just... It's not, and I love Schroeder. I think he's awesome. I can't wait for him to be a starter somewhere. But for now, he's not someone I'm hitching my wagon to. If I own him, he's the second worst player on my team. That's where he sits. He might be the worst player on my team. And that's fine, but you're better off using that to fill your categorical deficiencies rather than just holding on to Schroeder and hoping for something to happen. One thing he has done in the last month, he's shooting 50% from the field. He was a 43% shooter last year. He's a 43% shooter this year, but he's really kicked it up a notch recently. Is it sustainable? Probably don't think he's a 50% shooter, but he has made strides in that area. So that's a positive, obviously. Chris Humphries didn't play as many minutes as what he did against the Lakers, which is understandable. 13 minutes with 4 points. That sort of rules him out of fantasy value. Kent Bazemore getting back to business. 17-5-2. 2 triples, 1 steal, 2 blocks. Go and add him now. If he was dropped and he's still around, go and add him. Just don't expect consistency out of him. Thabo Sefolosha also played 30 minutes. He had 8 boards with a triple one. A decent night from Thabo, but it's hard to own him. And Kyle Korver had 10 points with 2 triples in his 28 minutes. On the Clippers, DeAndre Jordan was very, very impressive. 17-11. 4 steals, 5 blocks, 5 of 7 shooting. 7 of 17 from the line. You shouldn't care about that in fantasy, because you know that that is what's going to happen. And if you own DeAndre Jordan, you're losing free throws. That doesn't matter. So he was big. And to get 4 steals, 5 blocks is a massive contribution. Chris Paul went 17, 6, and 11. decent night for him. Not a good shooting night, but still pretty impressive. And Paul Pierce had 11 points in a start. JJ Redick, I touched on him already. The guy that needs to be addressed is Jeff Green, who played 38 minutes.
My name is Jeff.
He scored 14 points. He had 2 triples, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. In the previous game, he played less than 20 minutes. He's going to be up and down. That is his. That is basically his deal. That's his shtick. He's the up and down guy. But he's only owned in 42% of leagues. At least until Blake Griffin comes back, he's better option than Paul Pierce. He, as much as I love Wes Johnson, he's probably a better option than Wes Johnson. He's better option than whatever other crap they're throwing. Luke Marmute. He's worth a look in a 12 team. Now, Marmute will come back and play 13 to 18 minutes, but Green will play and he will have games like this. Now, is he a must own? No, no, he's not. But I think he should be owned in more than 42% of leagues. I think he should be owned in more 12 team formats because there is a role there for him. Cole Aldridge produced again in limited minutes, just 2 points, but 6 rebounds, 1 steal, and 2 blocks in his 12 minutes. And Austin Rivers had 11 in his 19 minutes. That is the games from Saturday. I am going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back to preview Sunday's action for DFS. Talk games for Sunday. There's early games as per usual on a Sunday. In fact, majority of the games start early. Is there any that start late? No, they all start early. So it's a bit of a weird day in the NBA. The first one is the Golden State Warriors and the Los Angeles Lakers. There is no spread for this one yet. Not really sure why. Probably do, because we don't know if Jordan Clarkson's playing. We don't know if Kobe Bryant's playing. Steph Curry was probable, but he is going to play. Larry Nance is probable as well, and Andre Iguodala is doubtful. So there's a few injury things to be concerned about. They're mainly on the Lakers side of things. Let's start with the point guards. D'Angelo Russell is at 5,700. Now, he stunk in the last game, and was that a factor of him having no Clarkson next to him? I think that could be a part of it. So if Clarkson plays, I'm happier at 5,700 for Russell. If Clarkson doesn't play, I'd probably restrict him to tournaments. But 5,700 is not a lot when he's averaging 34 across his last 5 games. So in a cash game, I'd feel a bit more safer using him if Clarkson happens to play. Steph Curry at 10,900. You should be salivating over this because he's playing the Lakers. His price has dropped $100 for whatever reason. But get that, wipe that saliva off your face, because Steph Curry's got an ankle problem. Steph Curry's playing the Lakers. They could be up by 30 points by the end of the third quarter. Do you really think that Steph Curry is going to go out there and play more than 26, 27 minutes in that sort of situation? No. I think that Steph is fine to roll out for a tournament, but the odds of this game not being a blowout and them not trying to get rest for Steph Curry is pretty minimal. I think they will. He will not play 35 minutes. I think that's pretty much guaranteed. He might play 30, 31. He might play 26, 27. I have no confidence in Steph Curry playing a massive amount of minutes and putting up a huge... Look, he could go crazy in 26 minutes. But at 11,000, is he going to put up 55 points? That's a tough one to do in limited minutes. So there is a risk associated with him. Sean Livingston's at 3,900. He's an awesome tournament option. He put up 31 in the last game. And at that sort of salary, if Curry sits, then he's going to play some extra minutes and be productive. It's a gamble, but maybe it pays off at that minimum salary. Shooting guards. A lot of these Warriors guys are going to be in that same boat that they could have their minutes limited. So Klay Thompson at 7,200, it's a real positive matchup, but does he lose a couple of minutes here as well? Yes, I think there's a massive possibility of that. Jordan Clarkson at 5,900. And I don't want to use him even if he does play at that salary. Kobe Bryant at 59, no chance. Nick Young might find himself get some extra minutes if Clarkson and Kobe Bryant and Anthony Brown, who's out for the next 4 weeks, if all these guys are out, Young's probably going to have to play close to 30 minutes. Now, he's been terrible, but his minimum salary. Maybe he gets hot and scores 25 points. There's a possibility in that for Nick Young. So he's a guy at 3,500 to consider. The other guys, Brandon Rush, Leandro Barbosa, Ian Clark, probably not. Although you'll see Rush getting some extra run with Iguodala out, and he does have a nice matchup. So he is a very, very sneaky tournament option at minimum salary. Harry Barnes at 4,500 had his best game in the last game. It's a positive matchup for him. Can you get behind him? He's very untrustworthy to me. But in a tournament, I know that he's got 30-point upside. My confidence in it is pretty low. We're going to see Metal World Peace in this game, and we're not going to care about him for fantasy. Power forwards, Julius Randle is interesting to look at here. He's at 6,200. He's averaging over 30 across his last three. He dropped 33 in the last game. I think he's a solid cash game guy. His lowest score in his last five has been 25, which is not terrible when you're spending 6,000. It's not ideal, but it's not a write-off, and I think he's an okay guy to look at. Draymond Green at 8,600. I've got him listed as a recommended pick on Basketball Monster, but he's still going to fall in the same boat of having his minutes cut against the Lakers. The problem is there's no good high-priced power forwards on the board, basically. He is it, and he does have great tournament upside, but in a cash game, there's no chance. Brandon Bass at 3,700, fine. He put up 20 in the last game. He can go for 20, but I'm not sure that I'm keen on using him. Maurice Spates, Larry Nance, Kevon Looney, none of those other guys really tickle my fancy. Centers, Roy Hibbert is at 3,500, and we still don't want to use him. Andy Bogut at 48, no, too expensive for me, even though, again, against the Lakers, it's a great spot, but he's just too unpredictable. Tariq Black and Andy Varejao, they're not getting used. Oklahoma City and the Milwaukee Bucks, the next game, the Thunder are favored by 7. The total here is 219, so we've got a pretty decent total to have a look at. Injury-wise, Michael Carter-Williams has been ruled out already for the Bucks, and on Carter-Williams for seasonal leagues, he is a drop candidate to me, especially if you're really fighting for playoffs. He can go in a lot of cases. Newly signed Nazir Muhammad is questionable. He will have zero impact, and Steve Adams is dealing with an ankle problem, but he is listed as probable. As per usual, we're going to see no John Henson for the Bucks. At point guard, I like Jared Bayless at 4,100. Now, he did struggle in the last game, but against Russell Westbrook, point guards can put up numbers, and he is worth a look at 4,100. He's got 30-point upside. Russ Westbrook, on the other hand, at 10,700. The Bucks do defend point guards well, but without Michael Carter-Williams, that factor disappears a little bit. So at 10,700, look, if you're choosing between Russ and Steph, I'm taking the 200 less and picking Russ. There's other high-priced point guards that I would rather probably over Westbrook here, because 10,700 is still a lot, and I still need him to go for, close to 55 points. But he's not a terrible guy to look at. Campaign, probably not going to play again, which is just criminal. Shooting guards, OJ Mayo at 3,500. That's minimum salary for Mayo. He played 32 minutes in the last game. Can he get to 20 points? Is that outlandish? I don't think it is. I think that he is a very nice tournament option at that cheap salary. And I really like Chris Middleton at 7,900. There's a couple of shooting guards in that 7,000 to 8,000 range who are looking really nice. Middleton's a guy that I'm impressed with immensely. He's averaging over 40 over his last five games. His lowest score in his last five has been 35. He's at 7,900. He feels like almost a guarantee, so that means that something will probably go wrong. Dion Waiters, 3,600. That's too expensive. Andre Robertson at 3,500. I don't even know why I said his name like that, because I'm not getting excited about him. And Randy Foy, he's getting minutes. He's thieving them off campaign, but he's doing nothing with them. We have a great matchup on the wing here. Kevin Durant at 10,800 or Giannis Antetokounmpo at 8,700. They are averaging basically the same across the last five. 54 for Durant, 53 for Antetokounmpo. Do you think that Antetokounmpo can approach Kevin Durant's numbers? If so, you spend the 2,000 less and you take him. I'm not that sure that he does. Small forwards against the Thunder have been reduced lately, but at 8,700, he is a fine guy to look at. He has been in ridiculous form in his new role, and he's, you feel like 45 points is easy for him. And Kevin Durant, yeah, at 10,800, averaging 56 points across his last five. His lowest score in his last five has been 52. He is safe as houses. Kyle Singler, nope. Even though he's got some extra minutes, he's a minimum salary. He's not appealing to me at all. Power forwards. Jabari is at 6,000. He's been consistently getting over 30 points on most nights. Fine with using him. Serge Ibaka is at 5,900. It's $100 difference. I'm obviously choosing Jabari in this case. Serge has been up and down, definitely. And that might put him in a tournament for me, but probably not. I still think that Jabari's ceiling is actually higher than Serge's at this point in the season. At center, not much to love here. Steve Adams at 4,000. No, it's a good matchup for him, though, against the Bucks' big men. And they've been terrible. But 4,000 on an ankle problem is a concern. Enes Kanter at 4,500. I might throw into a tournament because we know he can have those big games, get 30, 35 points. That can happen. Greg Monroe at 7,200. Yeah, put up 30 in the last game, but has nowhere near approaching value for me. Not a chance. And Miles Plumlee at 3,700. You're just hoping for a night where he has big blocks and it means it's you can't rely upon it for cash. Phoenix and Memphis. The Grizzlies are favored by 12. The total is 206.5 points. Tony Allen, don't think we're going to see him in this one. And that's really definitely not going to see Brandon Wright or Brandon Knight either. Point guards. Mario Chalmers is at 5,000. You say Mario Chalmers is a backup. Yes, he is. But he's averaging 27 minutes a game over the last three, and Mike Conley's played in all those games. He's priced at 5,000. They're playing the Suns. Dave Yeager's shown a propensity to play Conley 28 minutes and limit his minutes in a game where he doesn't have to play. Yeah, could Chalmers go for, he had 37 in his last game. Could he do it again? Sure. 5,000, I think he's definitely worth a look. Mike Conley at 6,800, I'm just worried about the minutes. The matchup is as good as it gets, and he can be used, but my cash game reliability factor is not high. Ronnie Price is up to 4,000 after his big 36-point game in the last one. Phil Pressey, not in the rotation. His contract might have even expired, so they're going to be running Ronnie Price and no one else. At 4,000, he is fine to use. It is a shit matchup against Memphis, but by just sheer volume and attrition, he might have to play 45 minutes, and yeah, something might come of it, and we'll see. He did it in the last game, and he's definitely worth looking at. Shooting guards. Devin Booker, not a good matchup, but the last time he played a team who was really difficult against shooting guards, he went off against the Heat. He's at 5,100. I think that he's an okay guy to look at, but not my reliability for him is not high, but I still think that in a cash game you can get away with using him. 3,900 for Lance Stephenson. This is a great opportunity for him here. I think that there's a big spot for Lance to be used in a tournament, and maybe he goes off. So he's a sneaky pick to me. Archie Goodwin, no. John Jenkins, no. And no one else. Small forwards, Matty Barnes has been really in a slump lately, but the last time he played the Suns, he played 37 minutes and is at 4,700. He can go big. He can go 30+. He's a great tournament option to me. Vince Carter, no. PJ Hairston is interesting at minimum salary. He might get some extra run, and it's a great opportunity for him too, so he's a tournament player too. And PJ Tucker is neither. Power forwards, Zach Randolph. He's at 6,700. His numbers have been pretty good, and this is a really good matchup for him. He's averaging 34 across the last three. I'm fine with using Zebo at that salary. Jermichael Green at 3,700, probably not. Mirza Teletovic at 4,600, almost definitely not in this matchup. The centers, Alex Len is where it's at. Yeah, he is priced at 5,800 still. He dropped 51 in the last game. He's averaging 35 across the last five. I think he should be smashed. I don't care that he's playing Memphis. He should be used. Birdman is at 3,700. He put up 22 points in the last game. They have no other centers. He's going to have to play 25+ minutes. He's going to fluke his way into 20 points. And at 3,700, that's fine. And I would much rather use Len at the 5,800. But if I'm struggling for salary, Birdman's a good way to go. Tyson Chandler at 4,300. He's not really someone who's entering my consciousness as an option. Dallas at Denver. The Mavericks are favored by 2.5. The total here is 210.5 points. We'll start with the point guards. Emmanuel Mudiay has been playing a lot better lately. The Mavericks, though, have been really restrictive in terms of point guards points. 5,800 is Mudiay's price. He's averaging 36 across his last three. do you believe that the Mavericks, you know, recent success against point guards can slow him down? He's always a liability to have a bad night, but I'm fine with using Emmanuel Mudiay. 5,600 for Darren Williams? Maybe, but probably not. I'm not all that keen on him. Ray Felton, getting minutes but doing nothing with him. And DJ Augustine at 4,000. He's a great tournament option, but that's really about it for him. Shooting guards. Wes Matthews, up and down a bit. 4,400. Not that keen, but I do love the two Denver guys here. Will Barton at 5,800. I don't love him, actually. He's been terrible, averaging just 22 points across his last five. We know at 5,800 there's upside, but I probably won't use him. Gaz Harris is the guy that I love here. 5,000 points for Gary Harris. 5,000 points, that's a lot of points. $5,000 salary. He was great in the last game. He's averaging 26 across his last five. I think he's a fine guy to lock in for cash. I'm happy with him there and in tournaments as well. Small forwards. Chandler Parsons at 6,900 has been dominating, and now he gets the Nuggets. He's at 37 points across his last three. Feel like he is really, really safe to use. Jakar Sampson, no. Justin Anderson, no. I wish we could have seen more Justin Anderson this year. Unfortunately, it's not happening. Power forwards. Darrell Arthur's at 3,600. He hasn't been getting it done, but there is an opportunity for him to have a breakout game, so he's a guy to consider in one of your tournament lineups. Dirk at 6,600 just feels too expensive for me, despite the positive matchup. Ken Fareed at 6,000, the minutes are a concern. And David Lee at 4,500 has been playing out of his brain, admittedly. 25-point average across his last five. Can he continue it? It's a great matchup for him. I'm okay with throwing David Lee into a tournament. I'd even maybe get some balls and put him into a cash game lineup. Probably wouldn't, but it's worth considering. But things are going to drop off for him. He's been blocking shots like crazy, and that's not what he does. He's shooting such a massive percentage that it's just going to come down, and it might come down in this one. Centers. Nikola Jokic at 5,800 has played big minutes the last two games. He's been productive as per usual. Can you use him at 5,800? Feels a little high, but against the Mavericks, their frontline defense is not awesome, so maybe he has a decent night. Joffrey Lavernier at 3,600. I reckon Lavernier at 36 is not a bad investment if you're looking to go cheap. And Zaza Pachulia at 52, he's just not doing it at the moment. Portland and Detroit. The Pistons are favored by one. The total is 206.5 points. Jody Meeks is questionable to return. He's not going to impact much DFS-wise or even seasonal league-wise. Reggie Jackson's at 6,600. He's been very, very disappointing. The Blazers have been able to limit point guards relatively well lately. Not keen on Jackson, although a big game for him, it has to be coming. Dame Lillard, though, at 9,400. When I talked about high-priced point guards, you can spend $1,000-$1,500 less than Steph Curry, Russ Westbrook to get Dame Lillard, and he's averaging 43 across his last five. He had 57 in the last game. I think that for him to get 45 points here is not a crazy thought. So I really do like Dame Lillard here. Shooting guards, we're talking Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and CJ McCollum as the main guys. McCollum's at 6,900. That salary's come down. It's still not quite where it needs to be, especially against this Pistons team, so I'll leave him alone. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's doing nothing, so he's not really in business for me. And Gerald Henderson at 3,900 is maybe intriguing. He played a lot of minutes in the last game, didn't produce much, not all that intriguing. But if I want to throw a flyer on a guy who's priced less than 4,000, he is the guy. It's not Alan Crabb to me. Small forwards, Toby Harris is at 5,800. I feel like for Toby Harris at 5,800 in a cash game, that just feels like you're going to get 30 points and it's going to be 5x value and you're done, and that's fine. His lowest score across his last five has been 24. He's not exploding for big nights, but he's just giving you consistent value, and that's fine at that salary. Marcus Morris at 54, he's so up and down, there's no chance I'd use him in a cash game. Alfred Gaminu has no place in any sort of lineup, and Reggie Bullock, who's been playing pretty well lately, put up 18 points in his 24 minutes against the Knicks today, but I'm not sure that that's really reliable, and he's at minimum salary, and it's not a good matchup for him. Power forwards. Ed Davis at 4,300. You know what? None of these guys. No one's worth talking about. Ed Davis, Noah Vonleh, Justin Harper. None of these guys are really going to have an impact in your DFS lineup, I don't think. Centers, Andre Drummond, 8,500. The Blazers at the start of the season were really poor against big men. That's sort of come back to average now. And Drummond hasn't been living up to an 8,500 salary. Not a guy that I'm keen on. Mason Plumlee is too risky. Myers Leonard, no chance. The next game, Philadelphia and Miami. There is no spread for this one just yet. There is a stack of guys out for the Sixers, though. We have got Nerlens Noel, who has been ruled out already. Kendall Marshall's been ruled out already. Nick Stauskas has been ruled out already. And Jahlil Okafor has been ruled out already. So we are going to see a lot of Ish Smith. He's at 6,800. He played 38 minutes in the last game. This is not a positive matchup in terms of ease-wise, but he put up 42 on the Heat last time. He is fine to use. Goran Dragic, on the other hand, 6,700 going up against Ish Smith. I think he is also good to use as well, averaging 38 points across his last three at 6,700. That becomes fine. Isaiah Cannon, at minimum salary, he's going to get minutes with Nick Stauskas out. So at 3,700, I think that you can look at Cannon in the tournament and hope he goes for 25. That will work. TJ McConnell, no, not really. Shooting guards. Dwayne Wade, another one of those guys, that mid to high 7,000 price at 7,700, dropped 41 in the last game against the Sixers. He's averaging 37 across the last three. Maybe he gets some fewer minutes here, but I still think that he can be a 35-plus point guy here. Josh Richardson's at 3,600. As much as I love him, his numbers, his play doesn't translate into fantasy stats or to DFS stats all that well. His highest score in his last five is 20 points, despite averaging 28 minutes a game. Maybe you get ballsy and throw him into a tournament, but that's about it. Joe Johnson at 5,300. I think Joe Johnson at 5,300 is a nice tournament play, but not a cash game guy. Small forwards. Bob Cove at 5,400. He played 41 minutes in the last game. We've got the same guys out, even more actually, with Stauskas out. This could be a big Bob Cove game. It also could be a stinker, but I think he's going to have to just accumulate stats because there's no one else around. Love him at 5,400. Luol Deng at 5,900. I'd much rather spend 500 less and take Bob Cove. Not sure that Deng is a great option at that sort of salary, which is approaching 6,000. Hollis Thompson is another guy at min salary, like Isaiah Cannon. Throw him into a tournament. He put up 30 in the last game. He's going to be in a similar role here. He is worth a look. He could also have 4 points, so just be aware of that. Power forwards, I love the value here. Rishaun Holmes at 3,700, dropped 30 in the last game. He's going to have to play 25 to 30 minutes here, and he is a big stats guy. I think that 25 points should be a minimum for him. Jeremy Grant at 5,000 has been a bit disappointing lately, but it feels like a big block game. It's a big defensive game is going to come from him. Use him, and I think in a tournament is fine. In a cash game, I also think there's a bit there as well. Carl Landry might start again, but that doesn't mean anything. And Amari Stoudemire, he'll probably start again. That also doesn't mean a huge amount. Both guys are priced less than 4,000, so there's a minute bit of interest, but not much. Centers, Hassan Whiteside, he's at 8,600. Fine, he's averaging 44 across his last five games. Yeah, you feel like he's going to put up a big game again. His 50 points is definitely on the table for Hassan. The next game, the Houston Rockets and the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors are favored by 7 points here. The total is 215. Terrence Jones still dealing with that respiratory infection. He is questionable. Don't know if he will play, but even if he's fit to play, he might not see the court at all. And Andrew Goudlock, who was just recently signed, we don't know if he's going to play. Point guards, Kyle Lowry, 9,100 now. He did used to play for Houston. He's been on fire. He's another one of those guys I would rather spend the less money on than Steph and Russ and use him. 50 points for him. He's averaging 49 across the last five. I think he's fine to use. Now, Pat Beverly is a pain in the ass, but I think that Lowry can push through that. Corey Joseph at 4,000 doesn't interest me. Beverly at 4,900, that salary, if he was at 4,000, I'd be all over Pat Beverly, but just not at that salary. He just doesn't work for me. Shooting guards, DeMar DeRozan, just another one of that group of high-priced shooting guards. He's averaging 38 across his last three. Had 41 in the last game. He's at 7,800. He's playing against the Rockets and James Harden, which is not a tough matchup. I think that 38 points is fine for him. And yeah, he is usable. Jim Harden at 10,900. 51 average, fine. Just you can deploy him on pretty much most nights unless he's going up against the Spurs, and you can expect 50 points. Terrence Ross at 3,800. Yeah, he can get hot, but it's not going to happen all that often. Maybe you'd throw him into a tournament. Maybe. Small forwards. Trevor Rees at 6,400. You know, decent nights, but that's too high for me. He's not really of use. Mike Beasley, James Johnson. None of these guys are really interesting. The other guy in the shooting guard I do mention before, Norman Powell, who'll likely get a start. Maybe in a tournament, but probably not. Patrick Patterson at 3,500. Does the Rockets bump do anything for him? Can he get to 20 points? Maybe, but I'm seriously not holding my breath. Luis Scola, forget about it. Donatas Motiejunas, no thanks. Josh Smith, Clint Capella, Terrence Jones, none of those guys have any real appeal. And the centers, Jonas Valanciunas at 6,200. I really like him, but not for that salary. And Dwight at 8,000. No, he's just not approaching that sort of value either. That's it. That's the games done. I'm going to put up the DFS picks of the day. At point guard, Jared Bayless, 41. Mario Chalmers, 5,000. And Dame Lillard, 9,400. Shooting guard, OJ Mayo, 3,500. More of a tournament option than anything. Gaz Harris, 5,000. And Chris Middleton, 7,900. I'm just interrupting myself. I'm looking at myself in the screen. I haven't looked. I think I got sunburned today. Can you guys see that? My forehead's a bit red. Anyway, sorry for that little distraction. Small forwards, Matty Barnes, 4,700. Bob Carver, 54. And KD at 10,800. With the power forwards, Rishon Holmes, 37, Jabari Parker, 6,000, and Draymond Green, 86. But that's a situation where there's just literally no other good power, high expensive, more, you know what I'm trying to say, high salary power forwards that are even worth considering. Draymond is only a tournament option to me. Centers, Chris Anderson, 3,700, Alex Len, 58, and Hassan Whiteside, 8,600. We are done, guys. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at redrock_bball. Facebook.com/redrockbasketball is where you can find all of the stuff as well and interact with the daily contests and chime in with comments on the shows, on the show posts, all that sort of stuff you'll find over on Facebook. Of course, Basketball Monster is the best fantasy sports site, fantasy basketball site anyway, with tons of great tools for your seasonal league and for daily fantasy stuff, and Hardwood Paroxysm consistently churning out great, fun, serious, analytic articles. Great stuff happening at Hardwood Paroxysm as well. Also sent out a tweet today just getting early ideas for the Red Rock series of leagues next year. What we are going to do, I know for sure. Currently, we've got 12 Red Rock listener leagues going, 12 leagues of 12 men, and then the winners of each of those leagues will go into a Champions League next year. That is still happening. We'll still have the 12 leagues, and we'll continue this process for however long we continue it for, but this will still go. But what we might do, because of the exorbitant increase in listeners and fans of the show, the leagues might go from 12-team leagues to bigger leagues. We might go to 16-team leagues. We might go to 20-team leagues. I don't know. They're going to expand. We're going to do a couple of Red Rock Roto leagues. I would be almost guaranteed of. We've got one this year. I think we'll probably chuck another two in next year. We are also going to do a couple of... We've got the Red Rock Dynasty League, which is super fun at the moment with us 16 guys in that league. We're going to introduce a couple more Dynasty Leagues. One of them will be a 30-team Dynasty League. The other one will be a dynasty league that incorporates real player salaries. And I don't know how many teams that'll be. That might be a 30-team one as well, where you have to assemble, yeah, basically like NBA rosters using NBA salary caps and NBA salaries. So we're definitely going to be having those two dynasty leagues, some roto leagues, the 12-team Red Rock series, and some other things that I haven't really thought about yet. But that's my early thoughts on stuff for next season. Don't need to tweet at me now and tell me that you want to be in, because there'll be application processes that happen all throughout the offseason. But this is mainly just a call for me to say, don't go away. If you're eliminated from the playoffs, there's stacks of stuff happening. I'm still doing DFS for the rest of the season, obviously. DFS will run through the first 2 weeks of the playoffs. After that, we'll do the team in review series. 30 podcasts, one on each team. Then we'll transition into NBA draft stuff. Then we'll do NBA draft reviews. Then there'll be some other things in there as well. We are breaking down the end of the season, last 2 months, who's primed for breakouts, all that sort of stuff. Then we'll move into summer league stuff. Then we'll move into, you get the idea. There's going to be stacks of stuff happening. The podcast does not take a break. It probably won't go every day after the second round of the playoffs, but well, yeah, it probably will, because I'll be doing those 30-team review podcasts. But there might be a week or two throughout the off-season where I take a break from it. But otherwise, it goes all the way through the off-season, and we can have more guests on during that time and more loose with the topics and some real interesting stuff that will be happening throughout the off-season. So make sure you don't go away. You keep listening. Even if you are eliminated from your league, there's still plenty of stuff happening throughout the off-season, and in those off-season, or not even off-season, through the end of this season, in the off-season, that's when the stuff will be announced regarding the Red Rock listener leagues, and that's when you'll get all the information about how to enter all of those, and you're going to get stacks of fantasy information and get legs up on your league. And you know, I'll probably be one of the first ones to put out dynasty rookie information to really get you into the mood for your rookie draft. So make sure you're staying tuned to all that. And the best way to stay tuned is to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You get your episodes automatically. Just download them. It's great for the numbers and listen. And I hope it will still be entertaining all the way through the season. And we'll be talking about a lot of NBA stuff. Stick with it. There'll be heaps coming. We are done today, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.